get into that. I got Philip on the line from L.A., and Philip wants to die, too. Hi, Philip. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing okay.
You mean you really agree with me about that?
Well, I particularly like a lot of statements that you make. I've been listening to you for a while.
Okay, why so? Why?
First of all, you're provocative, you know. I think you touch on subjects that most people are willing to sidestep.
Why? Why, Philip, are we sidestepping reality, man?
Well, I think that most people are afraid to deal with tension because the way that the Bible has been preached is that Christianity is a tranquil lifestyle. It's not it's not a community of tension, whereas that God administer his power through the circumstances that we live through.
That's beautiful.
So we're taught to live in tranquility, in peace, so we develop what I call a puppet mentality.
Man, and man, that is nothing but false, you know, that's some kind of like a metaphysical meditation religion stuff, man.
Well, you see, I really appreciate you. I listen to you all the time sometimes. I'm like the guy that caller says, hey, sometimes I want to smash the radio, you know?
Yeah.
Because I think I really appreciate what you have to say. Like the gentleman that you talked to about, says, if we're not willing to die at the drop of a hat, we wonder whether we're Christians at all. And that is basically true because the thing is, Paul constantly teaches that for me to live is Christ, to die is gain.
Absolutely.
And the conflict or the tension is not having to do with whether I live or die, but the fact that God is in control and whatever he wants to happen, it will happen.
Right.
And I appreciate that type of dogma, and I think most people are not willing to go that far. In fact, I'm willing to say, Pastor John, that most people are striving so much to attain the worldly possessions, and they're so busy doing that, so they lose sight of what God is capable of doing.
God help us, man.
And I appreciate that.
God help us,
Philip.
I
really appreciate that very much, because Christianity, sometimes I get opportunity to witness, and Christianity is losing my rights.
Yes.
Losing my absolute rights.
Absolutely.
And be totally surrendered to Jesus
Christ,
that his will be perfected in my life.
Philip, you hit it right on the head. We have no rights that we can brag and boast about. He has given us eternal life.
Praise God.
We are his agents down here temporarily.
Exactly.
Existing on this planet. My home is not here.
That's right.
I don't want to live here.
Praise God.
And when these people claim to be Christians and they don't want to leave here, there's something wrong with that.
Well,
you know what? And what a wonderful interview. Thank you, Philip. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles in the Lucy Coleman studio. And I'm glad that you can join me. What I'm going to do today for today's webcast, and it is, 9:20. And I don't mean 9:20 in the morning, but September the 20th, 2010. And I'm glad that you can join me for another webcast. If you look at the website, you see that I'm putting up a brand new series, video series. And I just want to talk a little bit about that, give you a little bit more background, because maybe some of you have never really gotten into Matthew chapter 22 and read some of the parables of Jesus. I believe that I point out to you on this sermon that this is the third parable addressed to the religious leaders of Jesus' day. The other parables are found in Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 through 32, if you want to take that down. And then Matthew chapter 21 and verses 33 through 44. Jesus referred to God's work in offering the kingdom. The figure of a wedding banquet in the series that I'm presenting this week here portrays the millennial age. Okay? And you can go into that and understand that as you read Matthew chapter 9, verse 15. And Jesus said to them, "The attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? But the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. And so we understand that to be the millennial age. We can also see a reference to that in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6, which says, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of marrow, and refined aged wine." Now, I'm using the term wedding feast in the sense of what we Christians look for, using it such as a metaphor, and so that we can understand that this is what our going to happen about. But the king in this parable had made plans for a wedding banquet for his son, and his servants had told those invited that it was time for the banquet. But the invitation was ignored. You can see where I'm putting that together in the sermon. And the guests, what do? They refused to come. Further effort was put forth to extend the invitation, but the same result followed. Since the offer was rejected to the point of mistreating and even killing the servants, the king was enraged, and he sent his army to destroy the murderers and burn their city. Now, Jesus had in mind the effect of the nation's rejection of him. God had made plans for his son's millennial reign, and the invitation had been extended, but the preaching of John the Baptist and the disciples had largely been ignored. The nation would even kill those extending the offer. Finally, in AD 70, the Roman army would come, kill most of the Jews living in Jerusalem, and destroy the temple. So we understand that in Matthew chapter 22, verses 8 through 14, as I finish this particular aspect, the wedding banquet, however, was prepared. Since those who were first invited had rejected the invitation, the opportunity to attend was given to a broader group. Here's where we come into the picture as Gentile, non-Jewish Christians. Through the invitation, though the invitation was extended to both good and bad, individual preparation was still necessary. There was evidenced by the fact that one guest had the banquet had not made adequate preparation. He had failed to appropriate what the king provided, and he was not wearing the proper wedding clothes. Now, once we get into that, we as Christians understand succinctly what that's all about. And I believe that that's where we are today. We have a lot of people dressed as Christians, talking like Christians, trying to be motivated as Christians and all of that. But we're in essence, they are not. They are not Christians. They are faking it. This is why when you first listen to the first part of the interview that I had up with me and Philip, Philip and I were talking about the easiness to give up our lives, you know, to suffer for the Christian's sake, to do that, and to make certain commitments about being a Christian where a lot of people do not make. A lot of people don't believe in that. They don't believe in making those commitments. They don't believe in taking it to that degree. So what happened? Apparently, the king gave all the wedding clothes as they had arrived, for they came off of the streets. Look at verse 10 in the text. He says, "Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests." You know what the Lord is saying right here? The Lord is saying in this parable, hey, if you ain't coming, that's all right. There's enough people out there that are ready, willing, and able to accept that particular invitation. A person must respond not only outwardly, but also he must be rightly related to the king by appropriating all that the king provides for them. Consequently, the guest was cast out into a place of separation and suffering. Now, we know what that is supposed to be. You know, for you see these comments on weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, we see the same thing. and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think we have a problem with calling that hell. If you reject the invitation, if you don't come dressed right, you're not going to be able to slip in there. He's not going to let you have heaven because you've shook the pastor's hand, swallowed some grape juice, ate a piece of cracker. That's not going to do it. Salvation isn't based upon that at all. No. So, while the kingdom had now been expanded to include individuals from all races, all backgrounds, all financial classes, many are invited, but there is an election. Few are chosen. See, the invitation is going out to many. That's the invite. That's the invitation. But the election of few are chosen. And yet individual response is essential. You have to realize that. That is everything that particular parable of Jesus teaches us. And I want to really admonish you to watch all of the clips that will be up on the website talking about that, because I think that you will gain just a world of information by listening to this sermon that I'm putting up this week. There's going to be a lot of clip parts to it. It's not going to be an easy thing for me to edit. My cameraman wasn't there, so I just took one video clip of it, and I do want you to watch the whole series as I place it up. Also, and that series is called The Rejection of a Lifetime. I'm going to try to put part two up this morning before I leave for the college. Got a lot of paperwork to do and to do that here in the office this morning, but I thought that I'd get up and kind of get this cast up and so that we can get going. Would also like you to listen to last Thursday's webcast, if you can, the Thursday webcast, which talked about certain news clippings that's going on, and of course, the end of men. And I got another letter this morning from Canada, a good friend of mine that's been listening to me for years, and he said that he hasn't forgotten. As a matter of fact, it was such a wonderful letter. I'm going to place it up a little bit later on today. But I really appreciate the letters of some of you that you've been sending as you come to the website. It's very encouraging to me to see that people are looking and listening for the first time to the way biblical Christianity is. This brother stayed in England, who's living in Canada now. He stayed in England, and the ministry that he was a part of, he said the whole thing blown up. People sleeping with other, all the mess going on, money. Man, it's just scandalous what the churches have done. And I think what makes it even more scandalous is that when people remain a part of that, and I like what this brother did. He got up and he left the whole country because he saw where England was headed, and he has children. He wants to raise his children in a country that's a little bit more acquiesced to decency. I'm telling you, England and America have really thrown in the towel here, and it takes an awful lot for us to continuously hold up the bloodstained banner. I really appreciate your letter, Ron, coming to me. I'm going to leave that clip up about women because I want a lot of you ladies to look at the rest of that series on the biblical female. And also, the tongue series is up. There's two quick Bible studies. If you go to the John Cole 1234 YouTube page, Bible study is up, a two-part Bible study. I want you to look at that. Have a lot of things up. And of course, this is Monday night. And Monday night means that we teach basics again, the extended basics class. Those of you that were students, I'm asking you to make sure that you complete your homework sometime today, because you will be drilled on that homework assignment that I had when you took that outline and then answered some of the questions about The Obsolete Man, the film that we showed in the basics theology class. I have a lot of things on the website for you to listen to. That count is wrong. I have over 380 clips. I think 384, 385 clips. And I want to put a couple of more up today. Got an awful lot to do. I'm doing the editing and putting this college stuff together. So don't have too much time to spend with you this morning. I really appreciate you coming to the website. Really appreciate you praying for me and believing in this ministry and in what God is having me do for you. Okay? Just to share that information with you. Come back to the website. Tell your friends about it. Tell other people about it, especially about the YouTube clips. Got a lot of stuff on there. Teaching videos on true Christian theology. And those of you pastors out there, I admonish you. It's so easy to get a nice computer. You're ripping off the people for everything else. Why don't you rip off the people for some technical equipment, do some real preaching, and upload it to the internet? Absolutely free. Why don't you put your sermons up there? Why don't you do that? Why don't you share with the people God's good word? Absolutely free, looking for nothing in return. Why don't you give of yourself for another person instead of thinking selfishly about your own lives? You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about living biblical Christianity in such a way that people can see the difference in your life. Some of you pastor types out there, instead of walking around talking about touching out the Lord's anointed, you know what? It's time to start ministering to the people of God and stop ministering to ourselves. Self-induced foolishness. Well, this is Pastor John. As you can pick up, I'm still doing what God has called me to do and I plan to continue to do the same. I hope that you plan to do the same also. Thank you for joining me on this Monday morning, September the 20th, 2010, in the United States of America, California, Los Angeles, South Central Los Angeles, in the Lucy Coleman studio. Pastor John saying, whatever you do, stay into the Word.